Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer, pray for the other ones. At Christmas time, it is hard, but when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear, where the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears. And the Christmas bells that ring there, they're the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of boo. Feed the world.
Man, that's fire.
Feed.
Oh, forget it. No, I'm not. I can't sing that part. No. Someone else sing that part. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Let them know it's...
You know the rest. Thank you.
Talking about.
No, I don't think it was him. That was the first time I noticed it, though.
So what you're saying is you didn't notice any sort of urine-type smell until Scott Daly was in the studio.
It's true, but now Scott Daly isn't in the studio, and the urine smell lingers.
He does have a powerful scent about him, though. He does. The essence of Scott does remain.
You're saying that he smells like urine?
The Sex Panther smell that can only come from Scott Daly. I'm not saying that Scott Daly smells of urine. Why did you immediately follow the "it smells like urine" observation with... You remember when Scott Daly was here on Friday and it started smelling like urine?
That was the first time.
Discuss.
I noticed it.
Okay.
Hello.
It's 2 minutes in the... Thank you. Scotty's noting he wears $3 urine. All right, thank you. It's 2 minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11 of this, the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed... and urine-reeking studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. I'm going to get everything kind of operating here. All right, thank you. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program. And if you'd like to engage with us electronically, you could do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Ashley Simpson says, "I miss my old face." Fantastic. And I can tell from the cover this is Us Weekly. I can tell from the font. That's an Us Weekly. That's an Us Weekly font right there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that somebody out there delivering the post is sending us photos of that. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. But we got that from some. Thank you, whoever you may be. All right. Let me get my everything rolling and operating and hey and the so forth and the whatnot. All right, great, thank you. No, I don't. I've already got the response from. I've already got the response from Scott Daly here, sitting in my. The subject line just says, "What the hell? I do not smell of urine." Well, that's your story, Scott Daly. It is a fact that most people cannot smell their own body odor, and I would imagine that extends to any kind of odor that might be emanating from your body. Your office number is here at the end of the email. We can contact those who work around you and see if they've noticed nothing. It's probably not you. Now, were you saying that you noticed it on Friday when he was here?
On Friday, yeah. But it's still here and Scott Daly is not. I don't think it's Scott smelling.
Did you notice the smell of urine before he was in the studio? When is the first time, let me ask you this, when is the first moment when you felt like the studio smelled of urine?
I don't know, maybe it did before him, but I remember smelling it the first time when he came into the studio. Maybe it was because the door was opening and shutting, there was a lot of wafting.
Okay. Wafting. What a pleasant word that
is. I've been around Scott. He bathes. He doesn't smell.
How low we've fallen, that's what passes for compliments on the program. Man, he bathes. You know, it might be Scotty J in his mesh shirt. Because the thing about that mesh shirt... is that it's just, I believe, meant to let cool air into his sweat-covered body. But who knows what kind of odors that shirt lets out. Scotty, do you smell of urine? I mean, just in general. There aren't dirty dishes. There are no dirty dishes in here. The studio is...
No.
No, the studio is relatively clean, my friend. Tim, do you smell anything that smells of urine?
I do not know.
All right. Maybe it's just inside your nose. No, seriously, I mean, maybe
well,
is there some...
No, it's every time I walk into this studio, I don't walk around smelling urine all day.
You don't? So it's not like a... Because you ever do that where you go into a... do you ever, like, go into a building or a... Do you ever do this? And I know you have. Sarah and I have both had this situation happen where you don't tend the dishes for so... Now, can you... You can't do that anymore now that you've got roommates, though. You can't just let your dishes ferment into a mold-covered funk the way you used
to. No, I basically take out food, though, so I don't use many dishes.
You just... You have the one plate. You're like the prison guy. You have the one plate and the spoon and the coffee thing.
Yep, I have... Yeah, I hardly use any dishes, except for if I'm in the mood for macaroni and cheese, I'll make it with a pan.
Because Manuel's not going to tolerate any of that. He's just not going to be...
No, Ben's
more of a special occasion, I would say.
Yes.
The preparation of macaroni and cheese.
That's what I'm feeling like cooking.
All right. Because, you know, sometimes, like, I used to have this happen where... And there is a particular smell, just like there's a particular smell that garbage juice has, there is a particular smell that dishes left in the sink and covered in mold do have. And how sad that I could... I mean, I can't really describe what it is, because it is a very specific smell. It's not like it smells like anything else. It's not like it's one part peanut butter, two parts celery or something. But there is a specific smell that I associate with every so often not doing my dishes for a long enough period of time that they be covered in some sort of furry, gelatinous mold-type substance. Usually when Lara's out of town these days. So, but the thing about that is, when you get that smell inside your nose, you go through the rest of the day, and everything you encounter for the rest of that afternoon smells of mold. It just taints everything you smell for the remainder of the afternoon. All right.
Well, I would like to hear about that dream vacation to Provo, if I may ask.
Sorry, I'm trying to eavesdrop on Sarah, who's receiving a cell phone call.
She is.
Let me tell you what that is.
Hold on, there's some sort of some sort of phone call coming in.
That was the weirdest phone call.
Your car has been towed by the...
No, it was some guy. I thought maybe it was like the insurance coming in. It was some guy with a British accent asking me if I...
Do you bathe
regularly?
Knew about
the New York dolls.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
No.
I don't know.
Not at all.
No.
Here's a fun fact. Did you know the former, I think it's the bass player for the New York Dolls, he fell into a life of drugs, drink, and easy sex and debauchery, and he was only redeemed through the healing power of Christ via the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. One of the many fun facts I learned this weekend in Provo. So we'll talk about that. Well, the New York Dolls were just here, weren't they? Didn't they just come to town?
Yeah, but I didn't see them.
Well, no one saw them. No one likes them.
Hmm.
All right. Let me find the...
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, joining us today on this Monday morning. How are you, sir?
I'm exhausted.
From?
It's just been one of those weekends. I spent the night with Clyde.
Okay.
You know, I've got about 4 hours of sleep the entire weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah, I went to...
I drank a gallon of Gallo.
Good for you, sir. The kind, is it the Gallo, the kind that has the little thumb hook thing? The little ring you hook your finger through so you can lug it along.
That's
from
Carlo Rossi.
Celebrating. Carlo has a sangria blend now, and we just kind of hooked the jug, and off we went.
Fantastic. What is that you're talking about? What is the wine that has the big thumb hook in it, sir?
Carlo Rossi.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Carlo Rossi, not... I'm sorry. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah, I went to bed at about 2 o'clock. God damn, it was cold last night. And I wasn't going to mention that because I was in Utah where it was, like, really cold. I looked over at one point last night, and it was 42 degrees in my bedroom. And I mean, and at that point, and there's no sense in turning on the heat because we got this, you know, we got one big furnace, and it heats the entire house except for our bedroom because the vent is broken, and so there's no point in turning it on. So we're just sitting there under the electric blanket, desperate. It's so cold that my poor dog actually came to the bedroom, like jumped up on the bed, and was just sort of sitting there vibrating, like shivering at the end of the bed. So I actually had to take a corner of the electric blanket and actually cover my dog with it last time because he was just sitting there looking up at me like, why, how have I displeased thee? Why am I being punished in this fashion? So I got like a good...
Why do you hate me?
Yeah, I got like a good cozy 3.5-4 hours of sleep last night. So we're all kind of functioning on the same level. Let me ask you this. When you came into the studio last, did you notice any sort of urine-type smell in here?
No, I don't remember it either. And I do work with Scott Daly.
That was going to be my next question. You spend a fair amount of time sitting right next to Scott Daly. Have you ever smelled anything that's like urine there?
No.
All right.
He will often smell of Jack Daniels and American Spirit cigarettes, but not urine.
That's the smell of sophistication, my friend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what were you and Clyde doing last night?
No, it was Saturday night. It was the Rose and Raindrop thing, the big over.
Oh, that's right, that's right. How did that go? Because that was where you, was that the 24-hour thing where you were all camped out?
Yeah, man, we got there at like 10 o'clock, and I didn't leave until 5:30 in the morning.
All right, and so was there...
That's the point of going to bed, you just stay up.
Spooks and specters caught on film?
There's some weird stuff. Clyde, I'm sure when you, if you have him on, he's going to talk more about it. Clyde's really reviewing him all the footage. We had like three, you know, IR cameras going, and people had tape recorders going, and it was some bizarre stuff.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have Clyde on today at the 12:30, so we'll talk to him about that. Here's what we've got. Let's see. Lindsay Lohan defiles yet another precious memory of mine. We asked the magical question, am I really that fat? Does Moxie, in fact, taste like ass? Where the hell has Jim Root been for the last week? And an elderly man beloved by neighbors for his many acts of kindness killed when he struck by a vehicle and dragged for 3 miles along twisting hilly streets. So we've got that. Let's see, what else? Well, that's kind of it. That's all we're gonna. That's all we've kind of got at the moment. What else do we have? That's pretty much. I don't want to tease anything beyond that because I they got a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't get to on Friday. That I got to try to get to today.
Yeah. Okay. Can you smell the urine?
No, I can't.
Maybe it says Mike.
Maybe it's only where...
I think maybe it's my chair or my microphone, because I do smell it only when I come into the studio. The rest of the building doesn't smell like
it. Does your chair make any sort of a moist squishing noise when you sit down?
No, but I'm afraid... I was going to smell my chair, and I was afraid to.
Scotty?
Smell the seat.
Wait, hold on.
No, but I don't want to put my face near that.
No, you don't have to put your face near it.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
Not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
He's not coming.
Scotty J? No.
He's on the payroll now.
No,
he doesn't have to do things at anyone's whim.
No, that's not true. He's on the payroll. He absolutely has to do things. See, when you're not getting paid, you can turn stuff down. You can say no.
See, that's the trick. He didn't realize that.
That's the thing is, when you're getting paid, that is now in exchange for services rendered. All right, Scotty, please to be entering the studio now. You have to smell the seat.
Hey, does not Matt Peterson now sit in that chair?
Well, it's entirely possible. Hello, Scotty. How are you?
Doing good, Rick. How are you?
All right, fine. No. We need you to smell this chair. No, it has to happen.
No.
There's no one else. There's no one else that can do it.
I'll do it this way.
I have to report on the scene. Sarah won't be able to. That doesn't. You can't just wave the air towards you. No. You got to get your nose down in the fabric. Here's the thing. No, here's the thing. Because Sarah, by definition, can't smell the seat because we need to know what... Well, and it might be her... Well, A, it might be the scent of her laundry detergent, her fabric softener,
no,
or whatever.
No, it's urine.
Her urine. Well, also... No, hold on just a second. I'm just going to say... And also because Sarah is smelling what she thinks is a urine scent of the studio, but it may just be something she smelled earlier in the day that is still sort of in her olfactory sensors.
No, it was there on Friday, too. It's like
I'm trying to get you out of smelling the seat.
Okay.
Tim, of course, is a newsman, so he can't do that. And then I have to report on this. I have to be the pundit. So Scotty, now this is a cloth-type seat. So what I need you to do is to get your nose way down in there.
No. It's not.
No, you need to... That wasn't a long enough breath.
I have a nose like a dog. It is
okay.
Not the seat.
Sarah, would you confirm... Would you verify that Scotty is taking a breath in...
Okay,
in...
I'm back there.
No.
No?
Right.
I guess the seat
what
is
about...
fine.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did the urine smell get stronger as I entered the room?
Sarah?
Kind of. I think it might be... you know what? No, I'm sorry, but I think maybe it is a mixture of, like, cologne and, like, rotting fruit. That's what it smells like. But not that you're going to be like rotting fruit.
Are you covering yourself in rancid papaya juice before you leave the house?
No.
It was, like, a sickly sweet, like...
Well, all of the worst... Have you noticed this, too? That all of the worst smells in this world do have an air of sweetness to them? That's a thing I've noticed. And again, the garbage juice is the best example of that. There is always, like, a weird sweet smell behind anything that is absolutely rank. All right. Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate that. All right.
Thanks, Scotty.
Okay. Well, in any event... All right. So there you go. So we'll talk about Lindsay Lohan. We will talk about my fatness... the taste of Moxie, find out where the hell Jim Roop is, and then we'll have a little news that hurts. So that's what we've got today, my friend. Where am I push-up-wise?
Back up to 60.
I thought I was at 57 on Friday.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. Chris gave you a pass for 57.
That's right. There you go. 57. Hey, you weasels. All right. 57 push-up. Excellent.
I'm just assuming you'll be at 60.
No, it's probably true. Hey, so, hey, where's that with how's that Week in Geek coming?
I sent it to you.
Really? I didn't get it.
Oh.
All right, I'll have to double-check. I'll double-check. If I can find that, I'll bust that out later today.
All right. No, you won't. All
right. Thank you, sir. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. There you go. Thank you, my friend. All right. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as always, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
That phone call's kind of weirding me out.
What phone call? The British guy?
Yeah.
So your cell phone rang, and it was a guy just saying...
It's a 746 area code.
And 746 is
786.
Where?
786. I don't know.
786?
Doesn't sound familiar to me.
All right. And he was a British man asking you about the New York Dolls. Well, I think they were just here. I think they weren't they just at the Schnitzer or something? I don't know. They're one of those bands that nobody really likes. So I'm unclear about that. But I think that they were here. Well, maybe that's because maybe it's like a Doug Fir thing. Maybe it's like a Booker or
could
something.
Could be. Hopefully, because I just made an ass. Hopefully not. I just made an ass of myself. I'm like, I can't hear you. I'll call you later.
For urine. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, it looks like Tori Spelling's involved in a new reality series with her and her husband buying a B&B and fixing it up in real time. The U.S. ambassador, Bolton, gets the boot. Officially, he's resigning. Paris Hilton quits the Billboard Music Awards, which nobody will watch tonight, over dispute over the snappy line she was to deliver. And Britney's new hobby is pole dancing.
Fantastic. Is she doing the motherhood pole dancing that's designed to invigorate your failed marriage?
Well, it doesn't say.
All right, so we'll have to find out.
All right.
Fantastic. All right, so there you go. So we got all of that. We'll be talking to Lisa Goddard later on today, as well as CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's in Los Angeles, where everything is burning to the ground. By the way, and I just got this.
Only rich people's homes burn to the ground.
See, and what is that all about? Is there not... Is it fires don't happen in the poor neighborhoods in L.A., or is it the news just doesn't bother to cover them?
Well, all the poor people live on level ground with no trees. They live in dirt. There's nothing flammable to catch on
they
fire.
They all live on big tracts of cement and concertina wire.
Your choice of white or yellow stucco.
The liquor stores are just made of glass and bars, and that doesn't burn down.
And people with money, there are mean, and there is a God.
So it's like a karma watch.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Taxes are for little people. We have this from Ryan. Ryan emails in the subject line, Sporvert is very angry. You would not like Sporvert when he's angry. Rick, I just listened to the Monday show, this would be last week, the 27th, where Lisa, I don't remember this happening, where Lisa revealed that her fiancé had a problem with the show's shenanigans.
Ooh.
Did you ever wonder, this is Lisa Goddard, where Lisa Goddard revealed that her fiancé had a problem with the show's shenanigans. Did you ever wonder if maybe he heard of your love for Ms. Lisa? Also, if he took the time maybe to listen to your podcast, then you can deduce that Lisa must have talked about you quite a bit, enough to make a man jealous and curious. Also, pleased to be excerpting Lisa Goddard saying New Direction. Thank you, Ryan. I don't remember that at all. I don't remember any
I don't remember that either, actually.
I don't think Lisa Goddard ever mentioned it one way or the other. I'm not even sure that Jason Sporbert knows that I exist. Which is just, that's just fine by me. That's the way that Rick Emerson prefers it. Hey, we've got an answer on your area code question. Jody, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. So hey. I wanted the area code. Was it 786?
786, yeah.
It's Miami, Florida.
Huh.
Why is somebody calling you from Miami, Florida?
I don't know.
About the New York Dolls. All right. Well, maybe.
Not a clue.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jody.
Sure.
All right, there you go. All right, and then later, and because I went to Provo this week, which was fantastic, by the way, and by fantastic, I mean the worst thing ever. This is, and I told Tim about this, I wish I'd taken a photo. If you want to know, there's really no sense in going on and on about describing Utah, because unless you've been there, there's really no way just to fathom how bizarre and how... First of all, everybody there is unbelievably well-scrubbed. I mean, there's nobody... And this is a true thing, because the Mormon Church has this sort of... It is a de facto prohibition on facial hair. It's not actually written into the church dogma, but it is understood. The good Mormon men, good LDS men, do not have they do not have facial hair. So anytime you see somebody beard, mustache, or whatever, you know that they're not of the faith. But man, you go into a place like Provo, or first of all, you got to know this, that the place I was this weekend, which is Utah County, is the single most Republican county in the single most Republican state in the Union.
And it is literally, demographically speaking, according to votes, according to public polls, according to everything, it is literally the most Republican county in all 50 states. So you're walking around, and it's just everybody is just unbelievably white. They all look like Breck models. They've got just these perfectly straight teeth. And everybody you see there just has, they all just have this weird, unearthly glow about them. Every business you see in Provo has the word family before it. Family movies, family books, family dairy, family family fresh, family dining, family whatever. You drive by movie theaters, and I'm not talking about like a DVD store. I'm talking like an actual cinema. You drive by movie theaters in Provo, Utah, and there are movies playing there that you don't see anywhere else. You know what Utah is? Utah is sort of a polar twin to Las Vegas, because we talked about when you go to Las Vegas, you see advertisements for these performers that you've never heard of anywhere else. Come see the magic of Danny Gans. No one outside of Las Vegas knows who Danny Gans is. I don't know what Danny Gans does. I don't know what his talents are. I don't know how he entertains you. I don't know if he sings, dances, juggles, mimes. I have no idea. But everywhere you go in Salt Lake City, there are billboards for businesses and movies you have never heard of anywhere. So you drive by theaters and it's showing now Work in the Glory 3, The Passion of Joseph Smith. It's just movies that no one else would know about. You go into my in-law's house, and this is what I told Tim before the show. This will sum up my entire trip. Lara's parents, God bless them, they have created this whole new guest room for Lara. Now, keep in mind that Lara and I...
A matrimonial shrine.
A shrine to the sacrament of togetherness. Now, they're a little disappointed in Lara and I, because Lara and I, in the Mormon parlance, Lara and I are only married for time... Not for all eternity, because the thing is, when you're Mormon, you get sealed in the temple, which means that even after you're dead, you can never escape the shrewish nagging of your wife. And so, we're not married for eternity. We're only married for time. So it's like we've only accomplished half the mission in their parents' eyes. But yeah, I went there for the longest time, and it was the same thing, where Lara had to sleep, in some guest room, and I was on the couch. Now that we are married... They have created an entire guest room for us. They have built, God bless them, they had it built. They had a room, it was like an empty garage room or whatever, some storage closet. They had a room constructed for us, for Lara and I to stay in. We go to Provo. I so wish I'd taken a photo of this and put it on the website. You walk into the bedroom, two twin beds separated by a nightstand. Lucy and Desi style.
Are there pictures of doves on the wall flying?
There are pictures, I swear to God, of little children playing with puppies. That's above my bed, was a little girl playing with a puppy. Above Lara's bed was a picture of an American flag. And then facing us from the... This is what you see at night as you're trying to sleep in the room. It's a picture of Jesus bending down as though he's going to fondle a small boy. And it's that same sort of Rob Zombie Jesus that all the white Christian groups have, peering at us from across the bedroom. Twin beds! Married for 2 years. It was totally, I felt like I was in an episode of the Flintstones or something. So there you go. So that's my trip to you. That and that blowy booth at the airport that you, when you went through the PDX, did they make you walk into that booth, the big plastic booth that blows air at you?
No.
It's exactly like when you watch television, there's one of those contests where they put somebody in a glass booth and dollar bills start falling down. It's like that, but without the dollar bills.
We had one of those things once.
I remember it in La Center.
In La Center, we had that. They have that now at PDX. I did not have to go through it, but behind me, a couple who were jabbering away in a language that was not English, and who had skin much darker than mine. They were pulled out of line and stuck into the booth, but blows air at you. This is, and I will tell you this. This is, I swear, the God's honest truth, this happened, because I text messaged Lara about it as soon as it happened. There I am waiting in line Friday night at Portland Airport, and I swear to God, I will not get on a whole rampage about the airport today, because we kind of did that on Friday.
Well, the holidays are coming up again, so we can do that around Christmas.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be traveling. I'll complain about it then. So I'm not going to complain about the airports, except to note a couple of things. A.
3 weeks to go.
As I'm standing in line. Oh, and if you have to fly out on, like, Christmas Eve, go to the airport now, baby, because the lines aren't getting any shorter. So I'm standing in line. When you go to PDX, the line now breaks off at a certain point. And if you apparently are from Pakistan, or, get uppity or whatever, they got to stick you in this other line where they take you into this blowy booth and it blows. It's like that thing that jets air into your eye when they check you for glaucoma or whatever, but it's like an all-over experience where they put you in a booth and it blows up your... There's actually a warning, too, to women that your skirt may blow up. So we're standing there, and these people, this couple behind me, get yanked out of line and stuck into the blowy booth. And I ask the guy, I say, I said, hey, what's that special booth for? And I swear to God, the guy's response to me, no trace of humor, didn't crack a smile. I said, what's this booth for? And he says, it's for people who ask too many questions. And then he just goes back to operating his machinery. That was the guy's actual response to me. So, oh, and they took my visa away. Viso, a beverage.
I told you they would. They did that to me.
But they, here's the weird thing, though, is they didn't take it away. I bought it in the Portland airport. They didn't take it away in Portland. They only took it away in Salt Lake. No unanimity. Yeah, they it was fine here. Portland let me walk right through with it. Salt Lake took it away. The same thing as, this is how you know that they're making all of this crap up and it's not making you any safer. My rings, my bracelets, and my watch, beep in Salt Lake, don't beep here. So, attention, criminals. If you're going to make any weapons, you should make them out of whatever metal my watch and my rings and my bracelets are made out of, because it doesn't beep here. Just so you know. Just, you know. FYI. There you go. Let's get these, and then we'll break. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
So you had a good vacation this weekend, huh?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It is almost worthwhile to go there every now and again, just because it sort of reminds you of how great Portland... I got to tell you, man, you are never more grateful to get back to the Portland than if you spend... I mean, I don't know, you all probably have some equivalent. I mean, Sarah, it sounds like you had a good time in Wisconsin. So I don't really know what your equivalent is, but there's probably somewhere you have to go every now and again where you get back on the plane, and as soon as you see, like, the Ross Island Bridge or whatever, as soon as you see the coin tower or something below you on the flight in, you have never been more glad to get back to a city. So, yeah.
Well, hey, my parents both live in Ohio. Ugh. So we occasionally have to go back there to visit relatives.
Yeah, it's no good.
That's pleasant. Yeah, but anywho, last Monday, I do in fact remember Lisa talking about Corbett being angry.
He was angry at who? At me?
About the whole thing. I don't know if it was because she had told him too much or, you know, I just remember her mentioning that.
I think you might be either making this up or remembering this incorrectly, because we all work here.
I remember it.
Sarah, do you remember Lisa Goddard mentioning her fiancé Jason Sporbert being angry at me or about me?
I don't, but I'm not saying that it couldn't have happened. I don't know.
All right. Tim, anything?
No.
All right. So I don't... Did she mention that he was annoyed that I had made fun of his name?
She had mentioned that I think she was like getting he was getting irritated about the amount of attention that she was getting from you.
Okay, you're making now I know you're making this up.
The name
you're making it up.
Okay.
I know. You're completely making this up now.
I remember talking about it.
Because no one else remembers it. If anybody else remembers it, they'll call.
Somebody emailed in.
How do I know that wasn't you? All right. If anybody else remembers it, they'll call. I think I would have remembered that. If I'd gotten any sort of indication that I was getting under the skin of one Jason Sporbert, that's the sort of thing I'd file away in my memory. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Okay. All right. Thank you. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I wish to share in your contempt for Utah.
Okay.
I'm actually an active and regular Mormon, returned missionary
mm-hmm.
to the temple for time and eternity.
Yes. See?
And I hate Utah.
It's the worst place on earth. It really is. It has nothing to do with... I mean, there is sort of a prevailing culture there, but it's just such an unbelievably bland place. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I totally do. And like, when I was a missionary, and I had, like... I mean, you see, we always walk around in twos. I had companions that were from Provo, and, man, they're 50 miles from Salt Lake, but I've never seen anyone who's further away from reality.
Oh, no, it's like 50 miles from Salt Lake, but, you know, it's like 1895 in that town.
Yeah, totally. And furthermore, like... their actual understanding of a lot of the things that the church actually teaches are disgustingly, terribly wrong.
Man.
And it circulates in this stupid sort of subculture that is in no way the church. And it is so annoying.
I'm glad to know you feel my pain, sir.
Totally. Right. And doubly so, because I have to be associated with these people.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Nope.
All right, there you go. That's Matt. We got a break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard after this. More of your phone calls. Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth at the top of the hour. You stay right there. Hello there. It's Rick Emerson. Can you sweeten my mic just a little bit?
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Greetings and salutations to you, my friends. We got Lisa Goddard coming up here in just a skosh, as our Eastern friends say. Later on, Tim Riley for the Ministry of Truth. Clyde Lewis, Peter Carlin, etc., etc., so on and so forth. Jay, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
I recall this thing close to Goddard. This did happen.
I'm sorry. Your phone's kind of acting wacky. Back up. Well, you remember what?
I recall this whole thing with Lisa last week saying, I think she either shared the podcast or something with her husband.
Is this like one of those childhood molestation crazes where everybody's going to insist that it happened and then it didn't really happen, no one saw it, but everybody's going to claim that they saw it, and then suddenly I'm going to remember something that never occurred?
I can't help you there, but I know it happened.
Okay. So what is your recollection of the incident with Lisa Goddard involving her fiancé?
The other guy was embellishing quite a bit. I think she had shared maybe some of the podcast, and he just kind of said, I don't appreciate my name being made fun of. But it was all very playful. It wasn't like, Rick, you have to stop.
See, I don't remember this at all. I'm not saying it didn't happen, I guess. I'm just... I would think, and Sarah has no recollection of this either.
Yeah, I really don't remember it.
This is like that Michael Crichton book. This is like Sphere, where we're all on the ship at the end, rising off the ocean floor and agreeing not to remember it. Okay. So he had listened to this program, this podcast, man. God love technology and God love the people who do that, but there was only so much limit who's exposed to those and who isn't. So he had expressed some comical annoyance that we had made sport of his name.
I think so.
All right. Well, okay. And this is last Monday, you believe, that this happened?
I knew it was last week, but I couldn't say for sure last Monday.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, very welcome.
All right, there you go. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Tim.
Hi, Tim. How can I help you?
I just had to let Sarah Dillon know. I went to school with her up at Washington State. The Clooney Lovers are going to be in town on Saturday. I thought she might be able to use that in her Band-Aid. That's what it's called.
And who's going to be in town?
Clumsy Lovers.
Cool. Well, thanks. I'll put it in.
Excellent. All right. There you go. Thank you.
I think I've met Tim.
It's the Rick Emerson tip line. all right. So there you go. Well, okay. I have no recollection of this, of the Lisa Goddard. Oh, see, here we go. Rick, about the Lisa Jason thing. I don't recall Lisa ever mentioning anything about Sporbert. I like how he didn't even have a first name now. He's just Sporbert to everybody. Sporbert, and I'm sure he's a fine person. I'm sure he's an attractive man with a successful, if somewhat uninteresting career at the patent office. But Sporbert, I say again, having no knowledge of him as a person, Sporbert sounds like the guy, and I think I speak for all of us here. I'm really having to reel myself in, by the way. You will note that I'm really having to pull myself back. Because as a talk radio host, your inclination is always just to take everything and just run with it as far as you possibly, just to milk everything for every possible ounce of comedy. I will not do that in this instance. But I do want to note.
Yeah, I'd say tread carefully if you enjoy having Lisa on the show.
I am treading carefully. But here's the thing. She herself has noted that Sporbert, which is her fiancé's surname, is not... Perhaps the, you know, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing. It is not the most, what is that phrase? It's not aurally pleasing. What is that? There's some phrase about something that rings well on the ear. It is not necessarily that. We'll talk about this later. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Why is that,
no reason.
Okay.
You can also email us if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. How are you, sister?
Hey, I'm doing well, Rick. How are you?
I am dandy. How was your weekend?
You know what? It was good. It was. I probably did the least ever on a Saturday, this past Saturday.
Now, what are your normal weekend activities? I mean, if I can ask, because Ed McCarthy's a gardener. We discovered that Ed McCarthy...
isn't that lovely?
Ed McCarthy's two primary activities are gardening and, I believe, sitting around and drinking himself into a stupor. I'm pretty sure those are the two things that at the top of his to-do list.
Wow.
Every Friday. this is only based on my conversations with Ed. I'm just sort of pontificating. And then Rufus, I think.
It sounds like fun to me.
I'm saying everybody's got their own, everybody's got their own thing. Anyway, I mean,
Yes.
Because in D.C., like, the news never really stops. It never turns off. So you got to be, I mean, you got to be, like, glued to the TV all the time, though, to find out what's going on.
Yeah, no, my boyfriend jokes around that it's me and my BlackBerry all weekend long. It's awful. But, no, we're big into music. I head out. There's a great club called the Black Cat. I like to see bands there. I like to check out 930 Club. You know, I play softball during softball season. I'm the worst person on my team.
Fantastic.
But great at heckling.
You're going to fit right in with all the rest of us here.
Beautiful. Yes, well, but how about you?
Well, you, I was in Provo. You don't even want to know about it.
Oh, wow.
There's really, that's all that needs to be said. There's really no explanation. There's really no elaboration on that that needs to be given. I will sum up, and I mentioned this anecdote earlier on today. I will sum up my entire Provo trip with this. First of all, it's Utah County. It's actually a suburb of Provo. So imagine how exciting that place must be.
Okay.
It is Utah County, which is actually the single most Republican county in the single most Republican state in the union. So it's a place where the culture is slightly different than that of Portland, Oregon, let's say.
Am I right? Is this not the place that you said you would scorch from the earth?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Are they aware? Were they aware? Was there any protest?
No, the thing about that culture is they're all for the earth scorching. They all believe that it's inevitable anyway. You know what I mean? There is a certain...
I'm not so sure about that.
There is a certain cultural niche in this society. There's a certain cultural stripe where people actively long for the day when God returns and reduces the entire earth to a cinder. There is a group of people that sort of have that mindset.
This is with the optimistic God idea, though. With the, you know, loving God, every day will be better.
No, but we're entering into a long, sticky conversation. I'll simply...
Great, I know.
I'm just going to say, though, that it is a suburb of Provo, which is a tiny, bland, uninteresting place, and this will sum up the entire vibe of the trip. Keep in mind now that my wife and I have been married for almost 2 years.
Okay.
We're not living together, we're not cohabitating and sharing a life of sin together. I'm no longer, taking her further away from the light of spiritual truth. I'm no longer a bad influence. We are, in fact, married. And we walk into the house, and my in-laws, her parents, have created this whole guest room for us. They've taken this area in the house. It was just like, I don't know, it was like a garage or like a tool shed or some crap. And they've made it into a guest room for us. We walk in there, open the door to the new exciting guest room that my in-laws have created for my wife and I. Bam, twin beds separated by a nightstand.
There you go.
Like a full-on Father Knows Best, Lucy and Ricky style.
They're matching PJs laid out on each bed.
Really, it was like one step from that. I mean, it really was like we had tripped and fallen into some 1942 Norman Rockwell painting. So,
what's nice, I'm looking at Provo's homepage right now, and it's a great town. You can, on the side of their navigation button, they've got Inside Provo. Also, garbage pickup schedule. They're on top of it.
No, it really is a fantastically interesting place, and by interesting I mean terrible. So, well, you're heading into kind of a slack period though, because you got the because the Congress is going to be coming into a long lull, right?
Yeah, they're going to be. This week is going to be a wild child, but starting next week, it will hopefully be nice and quiet. There'll be a lot of furniture moving starting next week.
So Nancy Pelosi's in there right now with a tape measure trying to figure out where she's going to hang her her curtains and so forth?
Yeah, the measuring, as the White House has been broadcasting, I think she has been measuring for curtains.
Fantastic.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
So the question is, is it that nothing happens this week because they're all a lame duck Congress, or is it the last chance to sort of ram in a bunch of crap that the next Congress is never going to approve?
Well, this is their last chance, but the truth is Republicans aren't going to do much with it, because I think they realize they're hanging their heads from their defeat. I think they know if they were to do anything now, it would just make them look worse, and they don't have the votes in the Senate anyways. Even right now, they're still short of the 60 votes that they need. So they're going to do just a couple of things. They're going to get a new Secretary of Defense, which pretty much everyone in Congress agrees on. Robert Gates has his confirmation hearings tomorrow. Now, he was controversial when he was first nominated years ago to be the CIA chief. He had to withdraw from that because he was accused of knowing about Iran-Contra and not saying anything. And that still hovers over him. But the fact is, and in fact, Senator Harry Reid, incoming majority leader, said as much. The fact is, the best thing this guy has going for him in his mind, Reid's mind, he's not Don Rumsfeld. So the truth is that Robert Gates, even with that question from long ago hanging over him, looks like he's going to sail right through the Senate. And we don't really know where he stands on Iraq. We know he is very well respected. He's seen as bipartisan, seen as someone who's a real thinker. But so they're going to get that done. There's going to be a U.S.-India nuclear deal that may get finished this week. There's a lot of smaller bills that a lot of people are trying to push through, but it really looks like they're going to punt on everything, including the big, giant, messy spending bills that they should have gotten done more than a month ago. They're going to probably punt those until next January so that Democrats get to pick that right up when they come into office.
Lucky them. Just as a side note here, and then I want to talk about our good friend Donald Rumsfeld for a second. I meant to ask you this the other day. We were talking about Iraq and... the Bush is over there, and he's having these meetings with people, and he's talking about, well, we're not going to leave until the job is taken care of, but you Iraqis have to start picking up the slack and so forth. And here's a question. To whatever extent you're able to opine on this or weigh in with your suppositions or theories.
Okay.
I mean, nobody's really ever asked this, and I've never seen it asked anyway, which is, I mean, the Iraqis want us to leave? I mean, if the Iraqis could press a magic button tomorrow... And the U.S. forces just vanished from that country. Would they do so, or the Iraqis want us to stay there and fix everything?
I think the trick is that Iraqis, their ideal world would be if they didn't have to make that decision. I think they would like it for us to be gone, but they realize, for the most part, at least most of the Iraqi leaders who are in control or in somewhat of control right now, realize and are saying that we need the U.S. for at least a little while longer because things are so... unstable in our country. So I think ultimately they want us gone. I think their ideal world would be to not have U.S. troops on their soil. But right now they need the U.S. because the U.S. troops, and we talked about this last week, are one of the few militias that are taking orders directly from the government. Other military groups, the militias, are really their own independent entities taking orders from various leaders. So the Iraqi government needs us, and they say as much. But you know, they say, we heard from the prime minister last week that he thinks that they'll be able to take over control of security for the entire country within 6 months. You're not hearing that kind of timeline from the Pentagon. They're hopeful that we could start that transfer in 6 months. We'll see.
This whole situation, I'm sorry, I leaned on my microphone but with my elbow there and turned it off. I am a broadcast professional.
Yeah.
Talk
about it forever. It really is complicated. And there's four different reports, or at least three, possibly four different reports the president will be looking at in the next week and a half.
We seem like this sort of Officer Krupke figure over there, you know, just sort of wandering around, brandishing a nightstick, demanding that everybody gets along. Meanwhile, Tony and Bernardo are fixing to...
There's no Jerome Robbins.
They're fixing to shiv each other behind the gymnasium, you know, when John Aston's not looking.
Boy. Right. None of that. No, you wonder. I mean, it really is a situation where, and people like to say this now in Washington, that there aren't any good options. And I think that's certainly the Iraqi viewpoint. It's not even clear what their best option is at this point, but they know they've got to do something just to literally stem the bleeding, the bloodshed that's happening right now. They've got to deal with that first and foremost. And if the U.S. troops left immediately, most people think that would get worse in the short run.
As a side note, our good friend, and by good friend, I mean creepy guy, John Bolton, apparently, he's going to be, as somebody said this morning on the net, he's going to be leaving to spend more time with his unbelievably large mustache, which doesn't look as though it could possibly be real. I could have told this guy was like a walking dead man a year ago because he's so obviously, and I can say this now as a commentator and giver of opinions, not fact, because he seems like such a colossal jerk. I mean, the guy just seems like a bastard in every way, and so it seemed just inevitable that he was going to get kicked off the end of the plank.
Well, there definitely was that image put out about him, and he certainly didn't help himself by the way he treated the people who worked for him. And I think that there is something to that in his personality, but in the last year, he certainly has tried to shape up and change that, try and turn it around, but just not going to be good enough. He doesn't have the votes in the Senate. And now you hear a lot of Republicans wailing and moaning up here saying, oh, I thought you were going to be so bipartisan. When are you going to work with us? They said, well, certainly not on this guy. We don't think this is the guy for the United States. We think he has this combative image that has been the problem all along, and we want someone else. And so Democrats are stepping up and taking advantage of the election. This is one of the first places they're doing it, after Rumsfeld, now Bolton.
You know what he looks like? Bolton looks like a really angry shop teacher in high school. You know, like he's just there teaching idiot miscreant 16-year-olds how to make birdhouses out of mahogany, and it's just a matter of time until he walks into class with a shotgun and just levels everybody. That's
totally differently. I think it's been a complete, unfortunate waste of a guy who should have been a character from Captain Kangaroo.
Fantastic.
He had it. He really had the whole Mr. Green Jeans. He could have done one of those. He could have been one of those guys, and it just all didn't go that way.
Excellent. By the way, you'd like to know, and I will not waste your time with such trifles, but you should know that I'm looking at the call screening software right here, and I'm getting calls. Here's a sample call waiting on hold to talk. Mark wants to say he has a good friend in Chicago named Norbert. So
that's great.
Well, hold on. Let's find out. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Lisa Goddard. Be polite.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Well, what do you think?
Are you setting me up with Norbert?
I'm not. No, a good friend in Chicago. Grew up in Chicago, and his name was Norbert. I played hockey with him.
Now, was Norbert his first or last name?
Right.
Norbert was his first name.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Did that guy just get beaten senseless every single day of his life?
No, he was a big guy.
You know what Norbert sounds like? Norbert sounds like that little chicken with the huge head and the big wire spectacles in the old Warner Brothers cartoons that was adopted by Foghorn Leghorn. had the old like mother hen.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yes.
Hey, Rick, go Moxie.
Okay, thanks, Mark. It was a gripping phone call. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right.
So what I guess what he's saying is we shouldn't forget changing the last name. What we should do is Jason should just change his first name.
I don't know. I feel like I'm treading on such thin ice here.
I don't know.
Now, Lisa, we've been having this discussion. We couldn't remember.
Thank you for bringing this up, Sarah, because I didn't want to.
No problem. Last week, now, has Jason listened to our show? And if so, did he...
some of the podcast, yes.
Did he express some uncomfortableness with
him? Well, I was watching him, you know, staring at him as though I was a researcher with a clipboard, watching him as he listened, and... He was very serious, and then he kind of started laughing. He started having a good time with it, and then he looked at me and said, "I need to talk to those guys. I got to get my side on this." I was like, "What's your side?"
I love the idea of you sitting there.
Oh, he has a side.
I love the idea of you sitting there, sort of a Diane Fossey figure, just sort of
what it was like.
Staring intently at him as he processes the end. Because someone had called in earlier, and then we had an email about this. Somebody had said they had noted that how did they put it? They said, "Rick, I detected in Lisa Goddard's call of last Monday, November 27th, that you had been causing quote trouble on the home front between she and Sporbert." He now only has one name to the audience.
Right, I like it.
So I just wanted to make sure that we had not caused a sort of a ruckus of any kind.
No. I mean, I definitely, this has all been complete matter of fact. Nothing has been stretched for your broadcast. I think he was just a little surprised that all of Portland was now involved.
All right, well.
Because I really hadn't told him that.
Well, I'd like you to pass along again that the door is always open. He
has
carte blanche
call in
to this
all
radio
right,
program.
We're going to set it up then. But so the other thing you guys should know is there's a new name now, a new potential name.
Okay.
Which was his, and I don't think I mentioned this to you. Forgive me if I did already.
All right.
It was his first name in childhood, which was his stepdad's name. And his name was changed when he was 11.
All right.
Norbert. So, and that was Desjardins.
No? Well, again, I don't want to tread under thin ice because this is a real name, not
Desjardins?
A...
Desjardins?
How is it spelled?
Okay, we did talk about this. It's with the Desjardins. Yes.
I feel... How do I put this? I feel that that is a name that, for what you are looking for, which is an air of delightful intrigue, I believe it's almost too much.
Oh,
I believe
really? You just think it's over the top. I am Lisa Desjardins.
Here's the thing: it sounds like a made-up name, and I don't mean any offense by that because I understand that it's not. But I'm saying it seems like a name that was deliberately picked to have an air of said sophistication.
I don't know because we're really it's leading the running right now.
I think you need a power name. How do you feel about Lisa Blackwell?
Yeah, I know you've been pushing Blackwell. I know. I don't know. See, that's just too kind of...
It's got punch. It's got power.
I like history. And if she wants to be, you know, close to her future husband, and that used to be his name, I think that's a good idea.
How about this?
We're open, though. We're still... Lisa Skywalker still in the running.
I've been getting names that sound like they're torn from the pages of bad bodice-ripping novels, though. I got a lot of... I got one on Friday that was Lisa Thornhart.
Which
where I totally picture you like on the front with like a large man with a buckskin knife in his belt, like looking out at a sailing ship, you know, while a purple sun sets beneath a mountain.
I know Lisa Blackheart.
Blackheart, see
yeah.
That'd be great, man. That you draw attention to yourself. You get a job at Fox News with that.
Yeah, I'd be the talk of the internet.
That's an evil sounding name. Rupert Murdoch could hire you sight unseen, sister. All right. Well, we will we'll get back. You tell Jason, though, that the door is always open. Rick, the warm telephone bosom of the Rick Emerson Show is always here to bring him in.
All right. I'll let him know.
All right. Thank you,
okay.
Lisa. All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent. All right. There you go. Well, I'm glad we addressed it, especially because when she called in, she got put on hold, and the first thing she heard when she got put on hold is us going, let's talk about it later. Lisa's on the, no, let's bring it up later. So, all right.
Norbert.
Hey, it's just, I'm saying in an 80s zany, like in a kooky 80s comedy, Sporbert is the guy with the big glasses held together with the tape that like, you know, and he's sort of big and tall and gangly and like arms all going everywhere.
I bet Jason's really handsome.
Well, he probably is.
You know, he probably looks like a football player.
Well, he probably is. See, that's the thing. That's how the universe works. You hear, you know, a guy named Jason Sporbert and you immediately picture that guy. You know what I mean? And then, of course, you're going to meet him and he's going to have a, you know, a chest you can play handball on. All right, let's move forward, shall we? It's let's take a break here. We'll come back with... Oh, we never got to the... Okay. Never mind. Take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. He's got moxie. And we're going to make Scotty J drink it. Scotty J will be forcibly drinking Tim Riley's moxie.
Oh.
Okay. Fantastic. Who else can we make smell your seat, Sarah?
Will, in engineering.
Fantastic. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. He's the Dropkick Murphys.